And this is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, coming to you from the eastern plains of Colorado, from my basement. Dave Buhner also in studio with us. And friends, homeschool fathers still hanging on to the semblance of a biblical worldview in the 21st century. That is, we believe there is a God. We believe that He is the source of ethics, reality, and truth. We believe that this world is not a bunch of cosmic dust thrown together by sheer accident over the last 50 billion years. And that there is no possibility for absolutes in this world, as the postmodernists maintain. No, actually, we actually believe that God's law is still in stone after some 3,500 years. And we believe that if you violate God's law, God gets upset because there is a God. Now, I know that is not taught in public schools and has not been taught in public schools for the last 50 years. I know that. But that doesn't make any difference to me. The fact of the matter is, friends, there is a God in the heavens and He's watching everything that's happening. And yes, Colorado has become probably the worst state in the union right now, and I happen to be broadcasting from the state of Colorado. And the front page of the Denver Post yesterday morning gave us a picture of our leaders, that is the House Majority Leader in Colorado, who is celebrating and dancing on the gravestone of the old Christian order of the last 2,000 years because they have won. And God is dead as far as they are concerned. They just, you know, Dave, we have the House Majority Leader, and by the way, 10% of the House and Senate in Colorado homosexuals. And Dave, they are performing a homosexual act on the front page of the Denver Post, meaning that the Denver government, as far as I'm concerned, is probably the most immoral government, flagrantly thwarting the government of God in heaven, and they are doing it far worse than anybody in China and the communist China government has ever done, probably worse than the North Korean government as well. I would say at this point in the history of America, Colorado government is the worst in the world as far as flagrantly thwarting God's law on the front page of the Denver Post. Dave, a homosexual act being performed in this picture on the front page of the Denver Post. Just shocking. Well, I mean, I saw you turn your head. You took one look, you turned your head.
Yeah.
You didn't want to look at it.
No.
Like, I'm going to turn it over, if you don't mind.
Well, the headline should read Capital Crime.
Yeah.
A little pun intended there, because understand, it is Capital Crime.
Understand, these are our leaders. This is Ahab. This is Nero. Nero did effectively the same thing. He was doing the same thing. And of course, he persecuted Christians, which is kind of what happens. And so, you know, not completely unusual in the history of the world, but Dave, of course, we're talking about the apostate Christian West and showing the big middle finger to God above and thwarting His law. This is about as blatant as I've ever seen in my life. This is the most blatant thing I've seen in my life.
This is brazen. What San Francisco has done on the city level, Colorado is now doing on the state level. Now, what's amazing about this is the majority of Colorado citizens and voters would not approve.
No, my chiropractor.
This is a gerrymandered state, yeah. And that's why.
My chiropractor, an ordinary guy, Elbert County, he's a family man. You know, I've known him for 18 years. He attends a little church straight down the street from us. But, you know, not necessarily the wacko right-wing people we are. But when he was the one who pointed this out to me, he was livid. He was shouting. He wanted to just take off, go home, and mellow out because he could not believe this was happening. And then he told me, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of the state. The state is turning into Californication. I'm moving to Texas. That's what he was telling me. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. I slipped him a copy of the second Mayflower. Just give him a little hope. You know, there is hope for the future. These people will spend out their money. They don't have kids. Hello. And they will be gone within 40 years. That's what happens, friends, to these social systems that self-destruct. And these sexual systems that burn out within about a generation. Friends, come on, they don't have a generational legacy, okay? Wake up. They don't have a generational legacy. They'll do everything they can to destroy everything they can possibly destroy over a period of time as they're taking on a little bit of the capital of previous generations. They'll burn it out, though, and it'll be gone within 40 years.
Although they do have a very good recruitment program known as the public schools.
Yeah,
and the universities.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that whole shooting match is going to have to come down. And it is on its way down. As we like to say, we're watching the demise of Western civilization. I think the big beams are falling quickly. Now, what makes the Denver Post front page so bad, Kevin, is that there are some things that should never be brought on public
life. Well, that's what my chiropractor is saying. I mean, he's saying, well, you know, I wish they'd just keep it in their own yard and don't spread it all over everybody else's yard. But see, that's what they do, friends. I mean, you just have to understand that it's either in the closet or it's everybody gets defiled. Those are your two options. And it's either going to be in the closet or it's going to be a mass propaganda campaign and they're going to put Christians in prison. I mean, that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you call evil good and good evil.
Sure,
I mean, this is predicted
sure.
in the Bible.
Yeah,
right. You're going to put evil on the front page of the Denver Post, and you're going to have a celebratory headline. It should be capital crime. Again,
yeah.
That's the real headline. But they will end up putting Christians or people who just don't accept that alternative lifestyle. Those will be considered the bad guys, the bullies. I believe we're called bullies now because we say that God doesn't approve of that.
Yeah.
That makes me a bully.
Yeah.
As opposed to
right.
someone like Joe right. Biden making a guy, you know, destroy
right. You're evil. They're good.
Yeah,
you're
let's just redefine everything. We'll
right,
define who's
right,
evil.
Right,
we'll
right.
define who's good.
Right.
We'll be God, and your God, we're defining him as evil.
Yeah.
This is not, and I said this, Kevin, this is not just that they want to worship Gaia, or they want to worship Baal, or they want to worship Asheroth, you know, another competing God in the pantheon. These people are intent on defying, mm-hmm. giving the middle finger to the God who is. This is not about another religion. This is the anti-God religion.
Okay, well, it's a bloodbath down at the Capitol, friends. Anybody who's interested in freedom, anybody who's interested in protecting the family for future generations, losing in the state of Colorado. The reason why we report from Colorado is because Colorado has been a swing state. Dave, you remember back in 1992, Colorado passed Amendment 1 and Amendment 2. Amendment 2 was no special rights for homosexuals. Amendment 1 was the Tabor Amendment that solidified some level of freedom, limited taxation for Coloradans, and that held for about 20 years or so. But now, friends, the liberals have taken over, and the battle is moving the other direction for the time being. As I said, this is only a temporary deal, and hopefully people will continue to engage the battle at various levels, and we won't be discouraged. Granted, those on our side are less numerous, perhaps, than they used to be, and the moral majority and the Christian coalition have sort of backed away. But, friends, there is, I think, a rising minority in America that will make a difference in the years to come. But, Dave, this whole gun thing is also out of control. I think all of the bills passed the House and the Senate, and the governor is considering signing the bills and limiting access to guns in the western state of Colorado here. And that's pretty rough, especially for those who grew up in the state, like my chiropractor, grew up on a farm down on the eastern side of Colorado, and he's just shocked that the liberals from California are coming in and doing everything they can to create a tyranny here and limiting access to guns as much as they possibly can. My understanding is that some are going to want to go after handguns as well, outlawing the use of handguns in the state of Colorado. Of course, that's only for the innocent citizens, not for those that are breaking and stealing and killing everywhere. The outlaws are typically the ones with the guns in states like this. But the sheriffs in the state of Colorado have ganged up against these laws. And my understanding is some of these sheriffs are not willing to enforce these laws, especially if you live within their counties. So
that's
it
correct.
Appears that the lower magistrates are coming forward and saying, I'm sorry, it's an illegitimate law. It's a law we're just going to ignore. And so I think you're going to get a lot of sheriffs in a lot of these local counties, especially the rural counties, that will not enforce these laws. And I say kudos to them, because resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And that's something that Thomas Jefferson wrote. And it has roots, of course, in John Calvin, Samuel Rutherford's Lex Rex, and the Magna Carta.
Well, Kevin, there's a lot of ways to look at this. But first, let's back up a little bit. 91, 92, we passed the Amendment 1, Amendment 2. Tabor, and we defined that being a homosexual, those who go out and commit homosexual acts, are not a special class in terms of the law. They're just people who do homosexual acts. Now, the Romer administration really didn't like the amendment passed by the people of Colorado. This was an amendment
right.
process.
Right.
It amended the state constitution. The Supreme Court of Colorado first said, well, that's unconstitutional, which is odd because it amended the Constitution, and so it had the force of Constitution. The state Supreme Court saying it's against the Constitution to be the Constitution didn't make any sense. So the Romer administration had to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court said that it violates the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause, which I believe it was actually enforcing the 14th Amendment, saying that you have equal protection, you don't get special protection. Because if you're special, then we're not equal.
Right.
So anyway, that's what happened in that. Now, it's important to understand this was the people who voted. Amendment 1, Tabor. Amendment 2, the special rights for people who commit homosexual acts. What's happening now is not the people voting. This is not a referendum. This is not a constitutional amendment. This doesn't have that force. What we have are a bunch of tyrants down in Denver right now, just drunk out of their skull with power.
Yeah.
But you also have the urban areas set against the rural areas.
Well,
you got that happening too.
You do. Well, that's what's happening in the country.
Right.
The country isn't divided red state, blue state. It's divided by population density.
Right.
Where you have very high density populations, you have Democrat governors, you have cities rotting out like Detroit. That's what you have. And you have Washington, D.C. that wants to elect themselves felons as mayors.
Mm-hmm.
That's what high density population. People in the low density areas, we love our freedom.
Sure.
We love our ability, and by the way,
and we love our guns.
We love our guns because we know that the sheriff's department will come out in chalk outlines. They'll do a good job. They make really pretty chalk outlines, but they're not going to be there to stop the crime. That really, a man who protects his family, who loves his family, has the obligation to protect them.
And the roving gangs that run through Chicago and shoot little two-year-old girls with five bullet holes. I just read that story a couple days ago. You know, they'll do their work in Chicago, where all the guns are being controlled and innocent citizens have no access to them. But you get out into the farmlands of Illinois, those roving gangs had better not go anywhere near these rural areas.
Right.
You see the difference there?
Right.
The difference is you live in the urban areas, you can't protect your family. You live in the rural areas, those sheriffs will make sure that you have the freedom to protect your family from the roving gangs. And the roving gangs will understand exactly where they can do their damage. It better be in Chicagoland and will not be in the rural areas outside of Chicago.
Right. And that's having a police department protect you is like saying the fire department is going to keep a fire from breaking up. The fire department will come after the fire's happened.
Sure, right.
And the police department will come after the shooting has happened.
And any sheriff worth his salt is going to appreciate the rights and the freedoms of the individuals to bear arms and protect their families. I mean, that's essential. Essential. That's so basic.
Right.
To anybody's freedom, especially when you live in a country like ours where we have a significant amount of violence that seems to be maintained and encouraged by dysfunctional families, and dysfunctional families maintained and encouraged by our educational systems, and the breakdown of the family has come through existentialism.
Right, and I want to come back to that point in a moment, but there's one place where I disagree with your chiropractor. It isn't just that Californians moved in here. It's that Californians, or that attitude, took over the public school system. Right across from the Capitol is the union office for the teachers' union.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very unholy alliance between the legislatures and the teachers' union. The teachers' union, as you know, puts forth candidates for the legislature and throws a whole bunch of money at it and tries to get them into office in order to keep the teachers' union popular. Well, these are the same people who are against guns. These are the same people who are for homosexual unions because they can't do marriage because the people in Colorado said, no, marriage is a man and a woman. Well, apparently civil unions aren't, because the legislature had to figure out a way around that, so we got marriage light. The public schools are educating the people who are voting for the candidates, 91, 92, those people who were adults then are my age now, and we're irate. But those people who were in school then,
the millennial generation,
they're the ones who are voting
right.
for the people on the
right.
front cover of the Denver Post. Right. So the public schools, more than California, we can't blame all our problems on California. We created our own problems because we lost control of the discipling of our children.
Right. The public schools certainly have a tremendous amount of influence upon the minds and the hearts of the next generation. And that's why, friends, the Pew Research poll that has surveyed people on issues like homosexuality, evolution, socialism, etc., for the last several three, four generations, they have determined that the millennial generation is far, far more likely to support homosexuality, evolution, and socialism than the previous generations, and that's because, of course, they've been attending the public schools. They've been rightly indoctrinated in the socialist schools. Until we bring down the socialist schools, they have in their control the juggernaut that will destroy our freedoms and destroy the principles upon which this nation was founded. Friends, this is the agenda. We have to unravel, we have to dismantle the public schools. We have to find some way to dismantle the monopoly that the public schools, the socialist schools, have on the minds and the hearts of hundreds of millions of people in this nation. And until that happens, we're going to lose and lose and lose. I think conservatives have to wake up and fight the battle against the public education system. They have to privatize education at every single level possible until we regain some percentage. It doesn't have to be 51%, but I think it has to be 10 to 15 to 20% of the population. It has to be weaned from the public schools. And at that point, friends, we will make significant progress politically and hopefully retain some freedoms for our children and grandchildren in the years to come. This is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back in just a moment with some news concerning persecution. Where are people getting persecuted? How many pastors, how many Christian pastors are in prison in America right now? We're going to be talking about that and comparing America to Iran. That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business dreams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson here with you. Tyrants down at the Capitol, but our county sheriffs, it's a different story. Got some decent county sheriffs all across Colorado. And Terry Makita fella from El Paso County, whew, he's a good man.
He's a good man. He's my county, by the way. I'm about a quarter of a mile into the county, but he's my sheriff.
Yeah. And you've been down there to the sheriff's department in El Paso County.
I have. I went down there to, because in Colorado you have to get a concealed carry permit. You have to go through the sheriff's department to get it. Just some fingerprinting and some other things. Oh, it was delightful. I've been to the courthouse across the street.
Yeah.
Not as delightful. The sheriff's department, very delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis could learn how to be as hospitable as the sheriff's department was.
Uh-huh. Well, Terry Makita is not really interested in enforcing some of these crazy laws.
Actually, Terry Makita is interested in keeping crime rate low.
Yeah.
It's odd. I mean,
exactly.
This is a sheriff.
I know, a sheriff actually working on criminals. Isn't that great? That's cool.
This is what he said. Yeah. I heard him in an interview that if the most of the county is armed, the criminals will go to Denver.
And El Paso County being south of Denver, the where Colorado Springs is. So that's the what he's saying here. Yeah, keep the criminals in Denver.
Well,
keep them out of El Paso County where we live, or Elbert County where we live. You know, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And whatever they're doing in Denver, lots of sin up there.
Well, think of how pragmatic it is. In Denver, they're anti-gun. Most of the people are unarmed, are afraid of guns.
Yeah.
In El Paso County, most of the people are armed and have guns. If you're a criminal, do you want to go where they're not going to shoot you or where they're going to shoot you? Well, obviously, you're going to go where the targets are. That would be Denver. So all you tyrants up in Denver, just put up a big sign, welcome criminals from El Paso County. We welcome you with open non-arms.
People have asked me, you know, where do we put our political energies? And I say, man alive, you ought to run for county sheriff or DA Friends, these are the offices that people need to run for, especially if they believe in some semblance of righteousness. If they want righteous laws, if they want to defend innocent people, man alive, make sure that you have decent sheriffs who will understand who the criminals are and only prosecute true blue criminals as defined, of course, by the laws of God, not by the arbitrary laws of men. All right, so
Kevin, you know, my sheriff also has the backing of the county commissioners. The county commissioners,
cool,
prior to all these bills hitting Denver, yeah, passed a resolution. This is, you know, the county has said that we will not enforce any infringements of the Second Amendment, whether from Washington or from Denver. So, you know, here we have the second largest, right, city in Colorado standing up and saying no.
Well, it's a rebellion on the part of lower magistrates, and Dave, that, of course, appropriate. We need people to be studying Samuel Rutherford's Lex Rex. We need to be studying Calvin's Institutes. We need to be studying the Magna Carta. Friends, there have been people who have fought for their freedoms, and typically it happens in the lower magistrate, and the lower magistrates gang up, and they begin to address the King John and you know, the government, the Parliament of England, and they say, hey, for these reasons, we declare independence. For these reasons, we oppose the tyranny that you're trying to impose upon our local counties or our local states. And thankfully, there are states and there are counties where there are men who are willing to fight these fights and hopefully sustain some freedom for years to come. These will be the heroes, friends. These will be the heroes, those who stand up against the tyrants who want to take away our basic freedoms, especially those freedoms outlined in the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution. And when we have people willing and able to stand up and fight for these freedoms, they will be the heroes in the year 2100, 2200. It will be the tyrants who will be the goats. The tyrants, and we will list the names of these tyrants. We will keep copies of the Denver Post to make sure we know the names of the tyrants who did everything in their power to limit the freedoms of the individuals. And we will know the goats. History will understand who the goats were, and they will understand who the heroes were in the years to come. And I'm so happy that there are men who are willing to stand up for freedoms, and I hope that there will be many of our children raised in homeschool families, raised in Christian families across America, who have been given a challenge, have been given a vision for standing up for freedom, becoming the freedom fighters and the heroes for the years to come, and hopefully the future sheriffs and district attorneys in counties all across America. Friends, we need to raise our children with a strong sense of these values and certainly the value that Thomas Jefferson inculcated in that little statement, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Dave, that's a powerful statement. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. That is, there is a point at which if you do not stand up against the tyranny, you are disobeying God's law. And this is almost exactly what we were talking about when we interviewed the man who produced Return to the Hiding Place and showed the incredible intrepid courage of these Christian men and women, these young Christian men and women in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, that stood up against the tyranny of the Nazis and, of course, fought in the resistance and protected some 700-800 Jews from imminent destruction at the hand of the Nazis.
Well, we must obey God and not men. And that's pretty much what Thomas Jefferson is saying, that authority has a source, and the source of authority is God. Even the civil magistrate is under God, and he is only a lawful civil magistrate in as much as his authority is derived from God, and he is within the jurisdiction of that authority from God. So the fact that he has a big gun and says he's the sheriff doesn't mean he's the authority. He's only the authority if he's lawfully the sheriff and if he's lawfully enforcing the law. Now, the source of that law also happens to be that authority. It happens to be God. So when a civil magistrate starts doing things against God's law, like throwing pastors in jail for teaching about how to spank children, for instance.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Or let's say a civil magistrate decides to put to death all Jews or all
infants in the womb.
Infants in the womb. Or all people with a darker color of skin. Or fill in the blank.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if that happens, your civil magistrate starts doing that kind of stuff, friends, it is a violation of the law of God. It doesn't matter if it's the law of the state. He is violating the law of a higher law, and that is the law of God. He absolutely has no reason to be obeyed or submitted to in that context.
That's right. Now, Kevin, here's an extremely important point, and Rutherford makes this. Just because your magistrate is violating the law of God doesn't mean you have the duty or the right to go take out your civil magistrate.
Right.
You also have a jurisdiction. You also have a duty to obey the law of God, including what responsibilities and duties have been given to you in your jurisdiction. So the fact that the national government is stealing from future generations with their currency policy doesn't mean we can go blow up the Federal Reserve.
Right.
Now, we might say, but they're stealing. We need to stop the stealing. Yes, but that hasn't been given to us to blow up the Federal Reserve. So we have to work within jurisdiction. Authority always flows from God. And that's a significant point that Christians need to recognize. Now, if I were a tyrant, and if you were a tyrant down at the Capitol, I would pray that Christianity would rise. Because, you know, when tyrants are eliminated, and they're always eliminated at some point in history, if the Christians are the ones doing it, you get the Oliver Cromwell type people. You're likely to escape with your skin. Maybe you get to go to France and live pretty large. You're gonna do okay. But if the humanists, let's say the non-Christian libertarian types take power, then you get the Robespierre treatment, and you get a bloodbath in the streets. So if I were them, I'd be really hoping the church would take off, because my day is coming.
All right, my friends, and we shouldn't negate the importance of the lower magistrate. The lower magistrate has a responsibility to protect its citizenry, even from a higher magistrate that may be violating the right, certainly the right to life, of those within his jurisdiction. So the lower magistrate, very important. The sheriff, very, very important. Well, Dave, as you already mentioned, there are several pastors in jail, and we'd like to keep track of the pastors in jail. And from what I understand, the Wisconsin pastor is still in jail, who was given, I think it was 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, in jail for preaching against spanking.
No, preaching.
Or for spanking, I'm
about
sorry.
About spanking, yes.
Yeah, he preached about spanking. I went into the book of Proverbs and made the mistake of preaching from the book of Proverbs on a Sunday morning, and somebody apparently taped him, and it was used as evidence against him in the court of law, and he is now received a prison term of 2 years in the state of Wisconsin. I haven't seen any editorial, any update on that article since May of 2012. So my assumption is the man is in prison today and he is doing time because he was preaching from God's word. Now, that is a huge, huge abridgment of the right to speech. And I can't believe that nobody appealed that to the Supreme Court of the United States. But, friends, I have a feeling this kind of thing is going to be happening more and more. Second pastor has just received about 2 year sentence, and this was a pastor out in Stewart's Draft, Virginia, small little town out in Virginia. He's a Mennonite pastor facing now 3 years in prison. Says he's being judged because of his faith and conscience for helping a woman and her daughter flee the country rather than share custody of the child with her former lesbian partner. Western society is seeking to re-engineer and redefine marriage, family, parenthood. Kenneth Miller of Stewart's Draft, Virginia, said in a four-page letter to a federal court judge will sentence him on Monday. He said that's why he helped Lisa Miller and daughter Isabella flee the country in 2009. If it is true that my actions flow out of my faith in Jesus and from my deeply held moral beliefs, and I sincerely think they do, then it must follow that whatever judgment is being brought against me by the United States of America is judgment on my faith and conscience and deeply held moral beliefs, he wrote. Now, Dave, I just wrote a letter to this guy in care of the Amish Mennonite Church in Stewart's Draft, Virginia. I have no idea who this guy is. My understanding is he's being persecuted for his faith, and he took a righteous position. I mean, he tried to, as a leader in his church, develop a righteous position. You know, what position should he take on this particular case? And it did not happen to coalesce with the United States government's position that would render as many possible liberties and freedoms to those who violate God's law as possible. Right. And so this man, I believe, took a righteous position, and it was a difficult position, probably a very difficult position. I would have taken a lot of wisdom, a lot of thought. Should he do this? Should he do that? And he wound up taking, I think, a righteous position on this issue, and he's being persecuted for his pains, serving, 3 years in a jail in Virginia. So, friends, at least two pastors right now in America being persecuted, nothing in comparison to what's happening in places like Iran, however.
Right. I would like to say that this Mennonite pastor did pretty much follow the path set out by Rutherford. You want to fight the case as much as you can in court. When you lose there, then you flee.
And they fled.
And he helped them to flee. If somebody wanted to leave the public schools, and I would help them leave the public schools. If somebody wanted to leave a concentration camp, and I was in Nazi Germany, I would try and help them to leave the concentration camp. Now, I believe this pastor also believes that this mother and child were in deep, grave moral danger, and perhaps even physical danger, and that their opportunity to practice the Christian faith was compromised in America. And so I stand with him.
Yeah. Okay, friends. Well, a couple of pastors in America in prison today. And we're going to continue to write to these pastors. We'll pray for them. And we'll stand up for them. Why? Because somebody's got to do it. And we're instructed to do so in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It's important for us to stand up for those and remember those who are in chains because of their faith. And we've got a couple pastors that are and I think will be increasingly persecuted in this country. And granted, you know, there'll be very, very few people that will stand with them. Why? Because there are very few people with any decent faith and courage in America today. And most of them are just going to say, well, whatever the government's doing, I assume is right. And they're not going to judge the actions of judges in America by the holy law of God and determine whether or not they're being tyrannized or not. Now, this is exactly what was happening in the Netherlands and Germany when men like Bonhoeffer would stand up against what was happening. And, of course, there was only a very, very, very slim minority that would stand with these radical right-wing fanatics, these Christian fanatics that were opposing the Nazi state at that point. Yeah, there were very, very few Christians who would stand up with Bonhoeffer at that point. Probably, what, 2-3% of the population of Germany. Why? Because your average person will just be led by the nose like a bunch of lemmings to follow whatever the politically correct thing of the day is. They will not judge the actions of the judges and the civil magistrate by way of the laws of God, as Bonhoeffer and Corrie ten Boom and others have done. Now, we will stand with those who will stand for righteousness, and we will judge judges according to the standards of the laws of God. Dave, Iran is worse, however. We have two men in prison here in America. Something like 300 people have been arrested and put in prison in Iran over the last couple of years. Evidently, this man, Saeed, Pastor Saeed, is in prison. He is an American citizen, by the way. He was in Iran, I guess, doing some kind of work. I have no idea what kind of ministry work he was doing there, but he was arrested. And he was thrown in prison. I think he's serving an 8-year sentence there. The ACLJ is doing a lot of work on his behalf. We're thankful for what these folks are doing. But evidently there's a congressional hearing on this man's situation happening this week. And so we'll hope and pray that that does some good. Since the beginning of 2012, apparently there's been an increase in the arrest, imprisonment, and killing of religious and cultural minorities in Iran, particularly Christians. State Department says there have been about 300 Christians arbitrarily arrested and detained over the last several years, since 2005, or since 2010, I'm sorry, just the last 2 years. Most recently, the Iranian-American pastor Saeed Abednidi, a U.S. citizen, was arrested to 8 years, sentenced to 8 years in prison for allegedly promoting Christianity in Iran. So we need to be in prayer for Iran. But, Dave, I think we're probably just a couple of years behind Iran at this point.
Well, we need to pray for Pastor Saeed. We need to visit him, write letters to what we can. We need to, you know, visit the sick and the infirmed. We're commanded to do that, and it's only gracious to do that. And we ought to be excited for the country of Iran, because the church grows by the blood of the saints. And where there's persecution, the real church, the church with real faith, you call them fanatics. I'll just call them those people who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah.
They increase. And so, on one hand, we see with eyes of faith, and we see with a hope that does not disappoint, because it's based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ himself.
We're thankful, friends, for faith wherever we find it. If there are Jesus freaks out there willing to put their lives on the line for the cause of righteousness and for the gospel of Jesus Christ, praise God for that. That's what we say on this radio program, and pray for those. Remember those who are in chains. I like Voice of the Martyrs and other ministries that constantly remind us of those who are in chains. I encourage you to sign up to some of the VOM.com's literature. Lots and lots of good stuff coming from that organization. Well, friends, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.